Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Matt Laws, and I'm
going
to get the privilege of doing the Bible study today, and then I will be calling upon William for all the answers.
What?
All right. Just a second, let me pull it up here. Doing good. How are you?
Good.
All right. Title of today's Bible study is Upward Thinking. We'll take a test in a minute. So, how do we become ambassadors for Christ instead of focusing on yourself? It's real easy to focus on yourself, daily lives, things you got going on in school or outside of school and the activities, but how do you have an upward thinking type relationship with God? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And you young people have an advantage in developing a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, that we adults don't have. Anybody want to take a stab at why that might be? Yes, sir.
Extra time,
I like that answer.
Your brains are old and mushy.
That's true too. Here's the reason why. You guys are used to having a relationship with your parents. And so you communicate with your parents just about, probably on many, many topics. Should be everything, but most topics you probably have a relationship with and you talk to them about different things. And so the kind of relationship that you should have with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, is the same way. Right? Just have a conversation with Him, just like you do with your parents. And we older people are kind of out of practice in having that relationship because we don't talk to our parents every day like you folks do in most cases, right? So you're pretty comfortable talking to your parents just about anything, for the most part. So, should be the same thing. So that's why you guys have a distinct advantage of developing a relationship with God and Jesus Christ if you just approach it that way. Think about it in those terms of saying, okay, help me out, God, and have a conversation with Him every day, during the day, when you need some help or whatever the case may be. When you're having a moment of joy, you tell your parents, this is pretty cool. Well, say the same thing to God about what you're experiencing. You young people can approach the throne of God, the throne room, in the same way elder Christians can. Do not think that you can't. Let Him be your helper. Develop that relationship with God. So, how many of you people think that you can approach God in the throne room, right? He's up in the throne room. How many of you can approach Him through prayer, discussion, the same way that an elder Christian or your parents can? How many of you think you can do that right now today? How many of you think you have to be a mature Christian to approach in the throne room? Raise a hand, sir. You have to be a mature Christian. Think you have to be mature. Okay? We're going to talk about that. That's an important distinction here that you guys need to have a good understanding of. That you can approach the throne room of God and talk to God in the same way as your parents or an elder Christian. So, this Bible study made me think of something, and I grabbed a picture here. About 10 years ago, our family, my two older children, had a pretty cool experience where we got the opportunity to meet the President of the United States. George Bush. I'm going to pass this around here. So, that's not William. That's his older brother, Ray. That's Catherine. Catherine is here today, and so you guys can go tease her and ask her where her braces are. So, okay. So, that's President Bush, and we met him when he was president. So, think of this as the throne room. Okay? It took us about an hour to go through security. And then you'll see some blue curtains behind there. Behind those blue curtains, there was Secret Service agents. And we had to go through about two or three metal detectors and all of those sorts of things to go see the President of the United States. What do you have to do to go see before the throne room of God? What do you have to do? You have to go through a security check.
Walk
in the throne. Start talking. Have a conversation. Okay. So. Go ahead and pass that around if you want.
That's a neat idea.
So. All right. Now, it was a pretty cool experience, but, you know, I can tell you before I went in there to meet him, I said, what am I going to say to the President of the United States? You know, what's up? You know, is that what you would say, William?
Huh?
What's up?
No.
What's happening, homie? Something like that? Right. So, just approaching the President, you know, we had butterflies, and both my kids were a little apprehensive, and they're not sure what to say to the President of the United States. Well, let's just transition that conversation to, what do we do when we come to the throne room of God, have a conversation with Him? I'm gonna ask the question again, and I want you to answer me this if you can, please. Does anybody here think you can't approach the throne room of God in the same way as your parents? Let's show of hands here. I want to see. It's okay. Okay, you don't think you can approach the throne room in the same way? Come on, raise your hands. Let's count here. I'm not gonna pick on you. I promise. 1, 2, 3. Mason, did you raise your hand? Do you think you can approach?
I was thinking the other option.
Okay, can't. Okay. 4. Alright. Why don't you think you can? Why can't you approach the throne room in the same way that your parents do?
Well, like, we all approach it in different ways. That's all you just said.
But you're saying you do it in a different way versus your parents.
Yeah.
But you believe you can approach the throne room.
Yeah, sorry, I thought that's what you meant.
Okay. Alright. Why don't you think you can?
Back today.
she's thinking.
Because God can't tell anybody else about it. About your problems or whatever. But your parents can. You can tell other people.
But, okay. Many young people think that if you haven't been baptized yet, that you can't approach the throne room. How many of you think that? If you haven't been baptized yet, some of you may have them, I know a couple of you in here are. If you haven't been baptized, how many of you think that you can't approach God the same way? Alright? You can. Alright? You don't have to be baptized to approach God's throne room. And there's some reasons behind that, and we'll talk about it here in a minute. So. Alright, I got a few more questions and we're going to come back to this. So these are thinkers. If you want to write them down, that's fine. Do you think that the thief on the cross, you know, Christ was on the cross and there was a couple thieves on there, right, with him? Do you think the thief on the cross will be raised as a spirit being? You know, write down the answer or keep it in your mind. Because we're going to come back to this.
The one on his right or the one on his left?
Either one. The one that he was talking to. Okay. Do you think the thief on the cross will be raised as a spirit being? So that's the first question. Do you think you must be a mature Christian in order to be raised as a spirit being when Christ returns? Do you believe you must be a mature? Somebody like your Grandpa Howard. Somebody like Matt Gaffney in there. I'm not going to put, you know, maybe even me. I guess I'm old. All right. Do you think you have to be mature to be raised as a spirit being when Christ returns? All right. 3. Do you think you must be a mature Christian in order to have your prayers taken seriously? Three questions. All right? Try to remember them. All right. When I was a young adult, I thought, for whatever reason, that I had to be a mature Christian and know everything about the Bible and know all the good basic components of it before I was going to be raised up as a spirit being in Christ's return. So I just always assumed that when Christ returned, I was going to be raised up in the first resurrection as a human being if I was dead. That's a counterfeit. That's a Satan counterfeit. You don't have to be a mature Christian to be raised up as a spirit being. A lot of people, whoa, really? So, but there's some strings attached. So, our righteousness does not depend on our maturity level, right? What's our righteousness depend on? Anybody want to take a stab at it? One thing, Blake.
Our faith in God.
Faith in God. There's one a little bit more. Anybody? Blood of Jesus Christ. He's paid it, right? He's died on the cross. Our righteousness is through Him and His shed blood. There's nothing that we can do. So, you have to know that last little verse in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, or some particular train of thought in the book of Matthew before God's going to say, okay, now they got it, now I'll raise them up as a spirit being. How many of you thought like that? I did. I thought I had to be a mature Christian to be raised up in the kingdom of God. So, it's not true. You folks, as young people, if Christ were to return here today, can be raised up as spirit beings. Okay? Sorry. It happens. This same righteousness that allows you to be raised up as a spirit being is also what allows you to go boldly before the throne room to go see God versus the President of the United States. Walk in there daily into the throne room and have a conversation with God. Okay? Our righteousness does not depend on our maturity level, but on the blood of Jesus Christ. You, as young believers, may be sinning more in your current condition than a mature believer is. But your heavenly position in Christ is just as spotless if you do what? What do you have to do to have your position being to be spotless before God? It's something that you ask God for in your prayers.
Forgiveness.
Right. You repent. Right? So, you're sinning more, but if you repent, you're just as spotless as Howard Nozick. He's almost 80 years old. Alright? Mature believer for 50 years. And that same spotlessness, if that's a word, that he has, you have. You can go before the throne room, talk just as boldly with God as Howard Knotts, or an 80-year-old that's been in the church for 60 years. And you are going to be raised up in the kingdom of God as a spirit being as long as you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you and you are allowing it to. Okay? The problem of believing that in Christ we are righteous is why we often are not able to come before the throne room boldly the way He tells us. Turn, those of you who have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. 4, verse 16. Who would like to read that one for me? Go for it.
Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of
need. Okay. Mine says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It says, let us approach the throne room of grace if we're a mature believer. With confidence. Oh, my version doesn't say that. Okay? You're supposed to go before the throne room of God with confidence, and you're supposed to go boldly. Turn to Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Somebody please read that through 19 through 24, if you would, please. Somebody want to take that. Mason, you up for it? No? Ike? You do it? 19 through 24? You up for it? Hebrews 10, 19 through 24. Want me to do it?
Sorry. Therefore, brethren, having that.
Here, I'll do it. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, remember what one of the things that happened after Christ died? What happened in Jerusalem? Curtain was torn. Okay? That's what gives us access to the throne room. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, who's our great priest? Jesus Christ. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. We can go before the throne room because of the price that Christ paid. It's the bottom line. Okay? You need to have a conversation with God daily, just like you talk to your parents. If there's one thing that you can do in your Christian walk above all other things is have a relationship with Jesus Christ and God. And the way to do that is to what? Communicate with Him. And you can communicate with Him on bended knee with prayer. You can communicate with Him as you're walking through the hallway of the hotel to go see somebody and say, God, thank you for this day. This is great. Oh, God, if there's somebody that you want me to provide some help to or do something for, let it be known. Just keep walking. Converse with him daily. Converse with him often. You guys have such an advantage over adults. You know how to communicate with your parents. Communicate with God and Jesus Christ the same way. All right. If we fail to grasp what we are in Christ, which is pure and spotless after we repent. Sometimes some of us have to repent more than others. Alright? If we fail to grasp what we are in Christ, then we will not feel righteous before God, and instead will come like a whimpering pup, like with our tail between our legs, into the throne room. That's not what God wants. God wants you to go there boldly in the throne room to have a conversation with Him. Alright? Don't feel that you're not worthy enough to have a conversation with God because you have a guilty conscience about something. clear that conscience right away, specifically, ask for forgiveness not of your sins in general. Tell him, God, I sinned. Here's what I did, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Then go into the throne room and have that conversation with him. All right? And then also, you might want to ask him, also point out the sins that I don't know about, and please forgive me of those too. All right? Because we all sin sometimes against our brother or sin against somebody else and not realize it. Ask God to show you your theirs of your way and ask for forgiveness. Again, he wants you to come in there boldly. He didn't want you to strut in there like I see my son William do sometimes where what's up, homie? That's not boldly. That's disrespectful. Alright? But you're supposed to go in there boldly. With respect. Say, good morning, Father. How are you today? And have a conversation. Okay? That, there's a difference between boldly and disrespectful. So.
That's just confidence.
That's a little more than confidence. Let's go to John 6, verse 54. John 6, verse 54. See why I came to these conclusions. I've told you some very firm things that is truth, but we need to prove it. We're supposed to prove all matters out, so let's go see what the scriptures say to see if I'm right. So, John 6, verse 54. Anybody want to take a stab at this? James, you good for it? Yeah. We got some visiting teenagers in here. They just miss the days of being teenagers, I know. John chapter 6, verse 54.
He so eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Pretty clear to me. Whoever eats my flesh, or does it say whoever is a mature Christian and knows every single thing there is to know about the Bible, eats my flesh and drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's not what it says. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day is what it says. Whoever, if you're a believer in Christ, and you communicate with him, and you accept him, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, and you continually communicate and commune with him, you will be raised up on the last day. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life, not your individual efforts. So, we have some stairs coming down off the lobby over here. Somebody's walking down for breakfast this morning. Might probably just assume it's not somebody in our group. And they start falling and you catch them. Great, you did a good thing. You did the right thing. Is God going to raise you up on the last day because of that? No. God's going to raise you up on the last day because of the Son, His Son, not because of your actions. Every single action. Okay? We're going to talk about actions in a little more detail here in a minute. The blood washes us from our sins. I and you are made spotless because of that shed blood. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1, verse 17. I'll read this one. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Ephesians 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. This would imply that we do not know him as we should. Does it not? How do you get to know somebody? How are you guys getting to know each other here? Communicating. You're talking with each other. Well, how do you think God and Jesus Christ, they know you, but how do you get to know them? Communicate. You got to communicate daily, constantly, all the time. Again, we are redeemed by His blood. This is part of the knowledge mentioned here. Let's go to Revelation 12, verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. Yep, Revelation 12, last book of the Bible, verse 11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It is through the blood that we will overcome. We need to understand what's available to us today through his blood. A few more scriptures we're going to read through real quickly here. Go to 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. Of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in one he loves. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, and are holy and blameless in his sight. That's why we can go boldly before the throne room of God, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Just remember that. One other scripture here, Colossians 1, verse 22. Colossians 1, verse 22. And if anybody wants any of these scriptures later for your own studies, I'll be more than happy to write them down for you. We can go over it. Just let me know. I'll get them all to you. if you haven't been writing down. Colossians 1, verse 22. Has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Satan doesn't want you to feel confident when you're approaching the throne room. He wants you to feel guilty, because then you're not going to have that conversation that you're capable of having with God. Or you might not even initiate the conversation with God because you're feeling guilty. Don't feel that way. Alright? You're blameless if you ask God to forgive you of your sins. Then go have that conversation. I know it's difficult to understand that it is the same righteousness that I will enter into God's kingdom that I'm now able to enter into the throne room of God. But just believe it. It's true. We've gone over the scriptures here. But it's difficult to do so if we don't understand the reality of what His blood does for us in making us spotless. Again, we may be sinning more in our current condition than a mature believer. But because of Christ's shed blood, our heavenly position before God is just as spotless. God sees a righteous being before His throne room. So just like President Bush there, when he saw us, he saw our family. American citizens. Okay? That's how he sees us. President Bush. God sees all of you in the throne room the same way as he does mature believers in the other room. No different. Believe it. Okay? And it's because of this position that we're in, because of what Christ has done for us, that he sees this righteousness. And that's why he tells us to come boldly. Come into the throne room and talk to me. Don't come in there like a scared little rabbit. Go in there boldly and have a conversation with God. There's nothing more important that you can be doing in your Christian walk ever than having that conversation with God. Nothing. Again, though, coming before Him boldly doesn't mean you don't come with respect and a little awe. Speak your mind with God just like you do with your parents. Build up that relationship. That's one of the aspects of coming boldly to Him. When you come into your parents and you want to talk about the dinner this evening, hey, we're Mom and Dad, where are we going for dinner? Comfortable conversation, right? You don't come in there with a twisted stomach and all apprehensive. You just come in there and talk to Him. You need to have that same level of comfort and conversation with God. It's that simple. As long as you truly repent from your sins on a regular basis, then you are spotless in God's sight. Certainly you're going to be heartbroken at times when you sin. And we all will continue to need to repent. But once we've done it, it's as if we've never sinned. We're spotless again. God blots it out. Blots out your sins. And we are once again spotless in His sight. But lack of knowledge of this reality causes to be lack in our faith. Okay? You gotta believe it, folks. Okay, let's let's go back to scripture again. We already read one more time, and I want to read it slowly here. So let's go back to Hebrews 4, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16, if you would.
Having a relationship with Jesus Christ so that you can be an effective
ambassador, or an effective vessel in which the Holy Spirit can do something through you. Don't do something through self-effort. Ask God, say, how can I help in this situation? Tell me what to do. And say, God, I'm gonna reach out and go talk to this individual. Let me know if it's not the right thing to do. Have that conversation with him. He'll let you. Let God direct your every action. And that's why when you talk about being an ambassador for Christ, you've got to do this first. You've got to have that relationship with him. It's so important. And if you learn it now, you're going to be much better off as you continue to mature. That's all I had for you guys.